Welcome to our show, The Sound of the Trumpet. I'm your host, Faith Marie Batsko, bringing you critical insight and revelation to position you securely in Christ for the season ahead. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today on this podcast. I recently took some time off through the month of September to fast and pray and to hear from the Lord for this very critical time that we are living in. Out of this time with the Lord, God has given me a fresh sense of urgency and focus for the battles ahead and to press on in the fight with courage and without fear of consequences. This podcast will be the first in a series of three based on much of what I received from the Lord during this time. So this podcast is entitled The Sacred Call. Jesus is calling us to embrace the call on our lives and to join him in his movement to run ferociously into this season with courage and with strength. The essence of this message is taken from our book, The Arising Army of God, to which we also have a teacher's manual that accompanies it. So let's look at the significance of the call. It is important to fully understand the divine call on our lives and who we are in Christ. We must have his revelation of its fullness in this incredible hour we are chosen to serve him in. We have been sent by God from before time and are called forth into our time to fulfill the destiny God has prepared for us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it shows that God is actively looking for those who will wholeheartedly embrace the fullness of the call he has placed on them before time. It says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are loyal to him." And that means made ready, complete, and whole toward him. The Hebrew word for show himself strong is shazak, and it means firstly to fasten upon or to seize, to take hold of. God is eagerly and earnestly longing and looking for the sons of God that he may fasten upon and take hold of them in a divine intervention. Servants of God with whom God has fastened himself upon in this divine intervention will see that he reclaimed them to represent him and serve his purposes in this appointed time for the original intention written for their lives. Jeremiah was raised up to call the nation to repentance and to warn of God's impending judgment. In chapter 1, verse 5, God tells him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." There is a real sense of urgency for the saints of God to get the revelation of this scripture into their beings right now. You may not be called a prophet to the nation. You may be a teacher, a pastor, an administrator, an evangelist. But there is a call on your life that God has ordained for you for this particular time of history. The Hebrew word for sanctify is kadash, and it means to set apart, to make clean, to appoint, to consecrate, to dedicate, and to make holy. These words describe the nature of the call on our lives. So here again, as in Ephesians 1, we see the same principle of being chosen before time for a specific purpose in time. You were called and you were sent into this particular time for this season. Jeremiah was ordained before he was even in his mother's womb. He was sent to fulfill an assignment predetermined for him before the world was formed. Like Jeremiah, Paul also had a divine intervention on the road to Damascus, where he encountered the living God in Christ Jesus. Jesus fastened himself upon Paul, constraining him in his love and the destiny prepared for him for that notable hour of history. Paul was called forth for that particular time. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was groomed in the Word of God. And he was sent in to that particular period by God to craft the new wineskin for the new dispensation of God's unfolding plan. Nothing is random. Jesus fastened himself upon Paul, constraining him in his love and the destiny prepared for him for that notable hour of history. Nothing is random. So Paul was called to serve the living God for that particular time of history. However, you are called, brought forth from before time, sent into this time to serve the living God for this critical moment of history in the climax of the ages. Yes, God chose you. He has groomed you. He has refined you. He has prepared you. He's walked you through the fire. He's walked you through the waters. You've not drowned. You've not been burned. And it's all been to craft you into a vessel of honor and glory for this season to serve him. The call on our lives is sacred. It says in scripture, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The word holy calling is klesis, and it means a sacred invitation. It is an invitation given to us by Almighty God to become a partner with him. It is a divine summons. So how can we refuse such an honor that God has bestowed upon this generation? The call is comprehensive. It is complete. It is all-inclusive in the providence of God's divine will. Romans 8, 29-32, I'll just quote a bit of that. It says, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. You are justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. The glory is coming, saints of God, promised to us over and over in the scriptures. It goes on to say, what then shall we say in response to these things? How should we respond? If God is for us, who can be against us? It continues to say in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things are provided for you for the call. You may not think you possess it right now, but as you choose to step out in obedience, it will be provided as you go. When you have to speak and you open your mouth, the words will be there. When you need a supernatural sign, wonder, or a miracle and you step out in faith, it will be there. We just have to have faith in our incredible God and trust him in his word that he is a faithful God, faithful to his promises, and begin to take that leap of faith. Within the dynamics of the call, we are being conformed to deity. We are all predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son as we choose to allow God to do the work in us. We are therefore to have his heart, his mind. We are to walk like him, and we are to do the works that he did, and even greater ones, as the word of God promises. As we live and we move and we have our being in him, we live in the Almighty Savior of heaven and earth. We have our being in him. Everything that he is ours. And I'm going to read Colossians 2, verse 9 to 10 in the Amplified Classic Edition, where it just makes it so very clear. It says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power." The Word of God is so incredible. The promises are so vast and surpassing that it is hard to take hold of the essence of what God is saying to us. But saints of God, in this hour, we need to get this. We need to get the word, the promises into our being and begin to believe them by faith and step out and walk in them. In Christ, it says, we've received the fullness of the Godhead, all authority and rule over every principality and power. This is a truth important for us to receive in this hour, especially for the greater things to come and the challenges ahead. Jesus said that all authority was given to him in heaven and on earth. We need to remember that part. And on earth, all authority has been given to him over this earth because he won and was victorious on the cross. And that authority, all authority given to him, has been given to us. He said, "Go therefore." So now we must go therefore. We spoke about the glory that is coming upon the saints of God in this hour. The call is weighted in glory. Glory is another dynamic of the call. Glory is a significant feature of our inheritance in Christ, prepared for each one of God's children. This was predetermined by God. Romans 9, chapter 9, verse 3 says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory." Did you hear that? Prepared beforehand for glory, even us, even you, whom he has called. We are being propelled by love on a journey, being moved from one level of glory to another. It is a subject that is very much on everyone's mind right now, so we will examine it a bit. So saints have been reserved to receive the fullness of this glory in the maturity of times. It is for the closing chapters of history when we must stand in power and authority to face the extreme darkness of the times. Romans 8, 14 to 29 declares that the suffering we may experience, that we will ever experience, is not to be compared to the incredible glory God intends to reveal in us. Verse 8 to 22, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The creation is groaning for the saints of God to rise up and become who they were called to be by God. Everything is there. Everything is prepared. We just need to step out and take that risk of faith and know that God will be there to meet us. It is so important in this time that we understand who we are in Christ and that we begin to identify with Him in His mandate of legislating the heavens. And that we move in confidence with authority over all spheres on earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. As the word says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It is time now to change our perspective and our beliefs about ourselves. God has spoken to me many times over the years, very sternly, and said, change your perspective. And it's not as difficult as it sounds. At one time, God asked me to do something that required finances that I didn't have. And it wasn't, you know, a command of the Lord, but I just quickly just thought, no, I don't have the finances, I'm not going. And later on, a couple of days later, the urgency to do it came again, and a friend asked me, are you going? I said, no, I'm not going, I can't afford it. And immediately God rebuked me, and He said, change your perspective. And I knew it was God, and I began to think, okay, if God is saying this, then there must be a way. He has all the money in the world. He can open doors that no man can shut. He can do anything because He's God. I started to just talk myself into a new perspective. And before I knew it, faith started to rise up. My friend asked me again, are you going? Without any evidence, I just said, yes, I'm going. God says I'm to go. And then after that, within a few days, everything cleared. The finances came, the way was made, and I went, and I would have missed out on a very powerful encounter with Him. So just change your perspective. Whatever He's asking you to do, if the enemy begins to lie to you and to whisper things in your ear that you can't do, who are you, you have no money, whatever He's telling you, stop and just begin to change your perspective and begin to speak it out, the truth. And to stir up your spirit with faith and trust God. And when you do that, God will meet you there every time, every time. So trust Him in this, test Him in this. He loves to show Himself strong on behalf of those who love Him. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified declares, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which He predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Everything is there. Everything is provided. All you need is to say, yes, Lord. We have each been given an expected end that has been determined by Almighty God. And that includes a specific work and a unique assignment tailored just for you. Just for you. No one else can do it but you. So we must now change our perspective from victims of circumstance to warrior agents sent into a volatile situation as sent ones and as crown agents of the kingdom. Wow, that's a different perspective. So what does an agent mean? I checked the definition and it said an instrument by which a guiding intelligence achieves a result. An official of a government, one engaged in undercover activities such as espionage, a secret agent. We are God's secret agent, men and women, brought forth for this hour of history. Wow, that's a different perspective. Begin to talk yourself into that and believe it, because it is the truth. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work to cleanse our souls of iniquitous resistance. We have to stop believing the lies. When God calls us to do something, we have to overcome the fear and the lies and know that we have been called to such a time as this as warrior agents. We are not victims of this time. We can easily fall into that trap with everything that is happening in the world right now, especially to the saints. And, you know, it's very difficult to walk righteously in this hour. And the enemy is targeting us. And we just need to rise up right now. I wrote a book called A Rising Called For. The saints must rise up now. And to rise up, first you have to awaken. Awaken. Awaken to who you are. Awaken to the truth of the Word of God. And then rise up and become who God intended you to be. We have been given the same promises God made to Jeremiah, to Gideon, to Moses, and to Timothy. He said to them, in some in different ways, but mostly he said, I will be with you. Have I not sent you? You can do anything if God is sending you and is with you. He said, I will give you the words. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Have I not made your mouth? How simple is that? I will protect you and deliver you. Do you believe that? He said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of a sound mind. Are you ready to embrace the truths of the Word of God? So I just want to talk a little bit about my call, a little bit of my testimony. I have this recorded somewhere on my website that you can hear the full thing. Actually, I need to write a book to share the full thing. But, you know, God called me out of a lifestyle of sin. I was a fashion designer. I had a store in downtown Toronto. I was just hitting the bars at night with my friends. And that was my life. It was a little bit pathetic. I started to realize that. When God one day invaded my apartment in downtown Toronto, I didn't see him, but it was such an experience. It impacted my life, turned my world upside down, and I've never been the same since. He came, and I can't give you the details on this podcast, but he came and he gave me the call, and he said to me a few scriptures that I will never forget. He said, leave everything. It was the Abrahamic call. Leave everything. Leave your family. Leave the store. Leave your friends and go to a place I will show you. I ended up in a little tiny town in the middle of literally nowhere. And before I left, he said, and this is from, I think, 1 Peter. He said, don't think it strange, the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. And, you know, that didn't sound too good to me at the time. But there was something inside of me that could not disobey God. I gave up everything. I gave up the store. I gave up my friends. My family thought I had pretty much lost my mind, and I took off with my little son and a couple of boxes, and I ended up in this little town where God started to refine me and my soul, teach me his word. When I asked him, what on earth was I going to do now, because all I knew was fashion, he said to me, you are going to write. And I didn't understand that. I laughed because I had no gifting of writing, and it was something that was pretty much torturous to me. But again, I believed him. One of the very first things he said to me was, I am returning. I used to smoke at that time, and I think I smoked a pack of cigarettes after he said that. I wasn't sure what that meant and when he was coming, if he was coming that week. And I didn't understand most of what God was saying to me at that time as an immature Christian. But yet I continued to follow. I continued to believe. It was extremely difficult time of my life, giving up everything. But I followed. He said I would write. I wrote. I started to write in 1999. I wrote for like 4 years straight. And the one book became two, became three, became four. Became a series called the Headstone Series based on the revelation that he gave me in Zechariah 4 verse 7 that he shall bring forth the headstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And that word headstone means exactly what it says, a headstone. Many translations say it differently. In some, it's final stone, the closing stone, the capstone. But it in the Hebrew, it is Rosha Iben. And Rosha means head. It's the feminine of Rosh. And there's much in this. This is the only scripture, and this is the only verse in all of scripture that uses the feminine Rosha. And there, again, there's a whole revelation in that, not what you think I'm thinking, but it is about a release of women in the last days. And I have that and much on women in my book, In His Image, and the teacher's manual, Call for the Women. But so I wrote these books, and it's a miracle that they exist, because I could not write. And they're all available on Amazon. There's five in the series and two more to come. But I believe God. He had a call in my life. I believed him. I stepped out in faith, and I watched him begin to perform miracle after miracle. It didn't happen overnight. And in the time frame that I wanted, 28 years later, I'm just at the moment of exploding and birthing these things. So, but it was all perfect timing, because I was not ready. The books were not ready. I've been refining them. And I just felt in the last 2 months, God said, you know, he dressed them in new robes. He gave them all new covers and said to release it now. He's never said that before. And so now they're out there to be released. And the theme of all my books is for the return of Christ. So I believe we are a generation that will see that, whatever time that takes. Because he said to the tagline for my books is Preparing the Way of the Lord. And he showed me that each of these books has a theme that is a facet of Christ and a facet of the house of God that must be in place for his return. And so each one focuses on a theme with that. I think the most significant and important one is Israel. So I have quite a book and revelations on Israel that God has given me that are important for this hour in preparing for the time when Jesus returns. So I'm just sharing this for you to see that when we obey God, despite how tough or how much it costs, and it will cost. It has cost me tremendously. It has cost me my life. It has cost me my son. God told me, and at the very outset, that my son would be going home to be with him, my mother. And he even told me that one day I would give him my life. So my mother died within 2 months, my son 12 years later. And as far as I'm concerned, well, I wasn't sure what it actually meant, if it was the Ephesians verse of I am crucified with Christ, I no longer live, or if it would actually mean physically. But I had to wrestle with that. I didn't know, but I had to wrestle with it at the very beginning. And that is a good thing to do. Everyone needs to deal with the death issue and give their lives over to God, come to terms with that, that he gave his for us, and he's asking us to lay down our lives, and whatever that means for each of us. But, you know, we're living in critical times. When he first said that, I thought, well, it's not likely because I live in Canada. But you know what? Things are changing rapidly in Canada. And he has had me living in Revelations 12 and Zechariah 4 for a long time. These are the foundations of our ministry. And Revelations 12 is a pretty traumatic, very intense chapter. And I believe we're living it. And it says of the saints of that time, it says they did not love their lives unto death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. So when we wrestle and we deal with the death issue and we put it behind us, then we can move forward in power, in strength, with courage, where Jesus is everything. He is our number one priority. There is nothing else before us. He is it. He's our life. He's our breath. He's everything. There's nothing else. Everything else falls short. And once we do that, then we take on a life where we walk in strength, power, in supernatural signs and wonders, and God shows himself strong on our behalf at every turn. Hallelujah. God is now starting a movement to prepare his way toward his return, and I believe that our ministry is a part of that, and we are called to that. And so it's time, people of God, he's calling you to that, to prepare his way in whatever way that means. Just remember that Jesus is always coming. He's coming, and then he's coming, and he's coming until he comes and his feet stand upon planet Earth. He says in Isaiah 40 verse 9, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up to a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." His reward accompanies him. Zion is bidden to climb to the highest mountain within reach and announce the advent of Savior God. The word advent means the arrival of a notable person. You are the soldiers and the servants of God who go ahead, the messenger that prepares his way. We have been now called to attention by the commander in chief, the Lord of heaven's armies. Amen. As we have focused on the call on our lives for this hour, our next podcast is going to lay a foundation for the dynamics of the times that we are now living in. It's important that our eyes be opened and that we understand the deception that we are facing. It is crucial and important as soldiers and warriors in the battle that we understand the dimensions of the problem, that we understand who are its authors and how we came to be living in these times. I want to go back all the way back into the beginning of the last century to lay out the foundation of how we got here. So please join me in the next podcast. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And Lord, I just pray for everyone that has heard this word, Lord, that it has gone into their spirit, Lord, like fire, that they would be inspired, impassioned, that they would have heard the sound of the trumpet calling them then, and what the Spirit is saying to them. And Lord, that they would receive an impartation right now of courage, that they would be able to say yes to you, God, to say yes to the call, yes to their destiny, yes to their assignment. So I just commit you and commend you to the Lord now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Help us to get these words out to the body of Christ, to rally the troops and those serving the Lord on the front lines. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and cpnshows.com. And please like and share with your friends. See the links below to our website and our social media pages. God bless you and keep you safe and hidden within Him.